Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, text 44. Do we usually do the usual? Do we do the usual and chant the Sanskrit one word at a time and then in unison? Aho, bata, mahat, papam, kartum, yavyashtitaha, vayam, yat, raja sukha lobena. Antum Srajanam Udyata Ahobata Mahatpapam Kartum Vyavyasita Vyayam Yadraja Sukalubena Antum Srajanam Udyataha Aho bata mahat papam Kartum vyavyasita vayam Yad raja sukha lobena Antum svajanam udyataha Aho bata mahat papam Kartum vyavasita kayam Yad raja sukha lobena Antum svajanam udyataha Aho alas bata How strange it is. Mahat, great. Papam, sins. Kartum, to perform. Vyasita, have decided. Vayam, we. Yat, because. Raja Sukha Lobena, Driven by greed for royal happiness. Antum, to kill. Svajanam, kinsman. Udyata, train. Is there another Bhagavad Gita for Mataji? Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit grateful, sinful acts driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Okay, please repeat. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Purport. Driven by selfish motives, one may be inclined to such sinful acts as the killing of one's own brother, father, or mother. There are many instances in the history of the world, but Arjuna, being a saintly devotee of the Lord, is always conscious of moral principles and therefore takes care to avoid such activities. Aho bata mahat papam kartum vyavyasita vayam yadraja sukalobena antum svajanam udyataha. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Om Ganatimarandascha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umnitam Gena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So this chapter sets the stage for the Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna is a eternal associate of Lord Krishna. And under the influence of Lila Shakti, he's in a very difficult position. And this is arranged by Krishna through the agency of his yoga maya for you and me and you and you and you, so that because in our day-to-day activities we oftentimes are faced with very difficult circumstances. And here is a proper reflex by a devotee, mental reflex that Arjuna is demonstrating. With his spiritual intelligence, he's analyzing the propriety of the action that he's expected to perform. And you know, he's analyzing as best he can whether this is should be done or not, shouldn't be done. So this is, you know, when lust covers spiritual intelligence, then boy, if I'd had a chance to prepare, I would have all the shlokas for lust, you know, in the senses, in the kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhava. So this is our eternal enemy. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhava, mahashano, mahapatma, vidyanam, ihavarinam. So it's lust only, which is transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. So the Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these powerful books that Prabhupada's prepared for our benefit, strengthen our material intelligence so that in spite of the influence of lust that has a tendency to bewilder even our intelligence, there's this, I may have the abridged version, I do have the abridged version, so I don't know if this BBT plate is in here with the horses, and they've got a nose and an ear and a tongue, and then there's the reins, and then there's the driver, and then there's the soul in the back seat freaking out, all disturbed because he's lost control, because it's the material intelligence which has his mind, the reins, under control, and then the senses with their lust are just dragging them here and there. So that scenario doesn't have to doesn't have to go in that direction, and that's the role of spiritual intelligence. It can actually, doesn't have to be covered if it's strong enough. So this is the role, or this is the responsibility of each devotee to keep his spiritual intelligence firm and fit. And that's done by regularly studying Shastra, by discussing it. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido avanti vit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad ashvapavarga vartmani shudaratir bhaktir anu kamishati. So when Shastra, this is particularly potent when it's done, when Shastric study is done in the association of devotees. It's Bhavanti Rit Karna Rasayana Kata. It's extremely pleasing to the Rit Karna, the ear, the heart, the ear. And when one does this, very naturally, Shraddhavatir Bhaktir Anukarmishati, that faith, attachment, and love for Krishna, they very, very quickly evolve, develop in the heart. So this strengthening of the spiritual intelligence, okay, this is a very powerful means, these classes that we have. And then if you ever have an opportunity to study Shastra in a holy dham, in an organized course like Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vaibhava, it's particularly potent because you get the power, the shakti of the dham, and then very advanced devotees teaching, and it comes. It has the power to really fully awaken our spiritual intelligence and help us go through major transformations. So that spiritual intelligence is also, it actually is awoken. It's strengthened by the Shastric study and the discussions in class, but when Nam, Sri Nam, the holy name, enters the heart, then so many realizations come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in his commentary, Shishastakam, the third shloka, Shishastakam, Janadapi, Sunichena, Toror Iva, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. So one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer our respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Okay, so that's the translation that Prabhupada's given us. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that when Nam enters the heart, then one begins to understand his relationship as a tiny part and parcel of Krishna. And one begins to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. This is the potency of Nam. We don't do it on our own. It's not by intellectual prowess that we figure it out, that I'm a servant of Krishna. It's not by book reading. That helps us because it guides our thought process. It's actually Krishna in his holy name. In Kali Yuga, this is how Krishna powerfully manifests. And through that manifestation, we go through major changes in our thinking. We begin to understand that we're Krishna's eternal servant, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's our master. Our business is to please him, and his external energy should be used in his service. So this is the essence of Sambandha Gyan, which also it becomes very focused when we study Shastra. But its awakening comes through the potency of the holy name. So this is the anga of Vaidisadana Bhakti that Srila Prabhupada says is the most important. It's the most essential. He says this in the purport to, there's a famous verse that is included in Krishnadas Kaviraj's unpacking of the angas of Vaidisadana Bhakti. Smartavyo Siddhatam Vishnur, Vismartavyo Najatuchit, Sarvevidhi Nishedashur, Etayor Eva Kinkara. One should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And all of the rules and regulations, all the do's and the don'ts, should simply be servants of these two principles. And then the purport, Prabhupada describes that the easiest way to remember Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. And then he says, of all of the instructions of the spiritual master, the chanting of 16 rounds is the most essential. When we look at the verses in Nectar of Instruction, which is kind of a synopsis of the Upadeshamrita, a synopsis of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we can understand that we realize Krishna's name by chanting the holy name. We realize that this is not different than Krishna. We realize Krishna's rupa, his form. We start to understand that Krishna is not different than his deity. This comes about through trying very hard to chant offenselessly. Then as we advance, our senses become sufficiently purified. We actually see Krishna. We can enter his pastimes. This happens at the stage of bhava. Our senses are sufficiently purified so that the spiritual senses begin to perceive Krishna and can start interacting with him on a lila platform. But this is all through the potency of the holy name. This is what Rupa Goswami describes in Upadeshamrita. Of course, it's in much more detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, Prabhupada described that we should use our best intelligence to chant Hare Krishna. Now, that may seem to be a bewildering statement because it doesn't seem like it would take much intelligence to chant 16 words over and over and over and over again for 2 or 2.5 hours. But what Prabhupada meant by that is that we should arrange our lives in such a way so that that special time when we're chanting our japa is fully optimized. And this is how, because when we do that, when we give everything we've got to our chanting, I mean, just like none of you are parents yet, I think. Am I correct? Yeah, not parents yet. So I have 2 sons. They're on the threshold of adulthood. But when they were very small, and you may remember this in your own lives, when you cried for your mother, maybe you fell down and hurt your knee, Mommy! You know, this is super intense, right from the heart. You're not thinking about anything else. You're just crying for your mother. You're not going to fall asleep. You're not going to think about what you're going to do in the day. You just want your mommy. Okay, it's a super intense cry. And then this is the essential instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave us, of the feeling, the heartfelt feeling that one should have when he's chanting. It's a cry to Krishna. Please, Krishna, engage me in your service. O Radha, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So it's a very, very intense. It should be. It should be, you know, because the intensity of the cry of a child for its mother, the genuine cry by the child for his mother, this is how Prabhupada described it, genuine cry. It should be very genuine. We can recognize that we have become estranged in our relationship with the Lord because of our misuse of free will. We've come into this material world and we've become subjected to samsara, repeated birth and death, and untold sufferings, untold misery because of this misuse of free will. It's a very painful circumstance. It's the material world's actually designed like that, so we wake up. It's like a slap in the face. You know, every day there is something, some form of suffering. Sometimes the suffering or the level of distress is very intense. So when we take, you know, these are promptings. Just like Queen Kunti, she prayed for it. Vipata shantuta shashvat tatra tatra jagad guru lavato darshanam yachat apanadar bhavadarshana. She prayed, may all these calamities happen and again, because when they happen, then you come to us. And when you come to us, we no longer see repeated birth and death. So these kind of difficulties give us impetus to cry. So they're not something that we should, it may be disturbing, but it's not something that we should do anything other than cry like a baby for our mother to Krishna. And then that's the ultimate solution. So whether it's a disturbing circumstance we're in, or whether we're just kind of coasting along without any distressful circumstances, kind of in a peaceful period of our life, we should still arrange everything. Take rest early, take as much utilization as possible of the Brahma Muhurta, where the potency of the holy name is magnified, and that's arranged by the Lord. It's a peaceful time where we can be one-on-one in our relationship with Krishna without other disturbances. And this, by doing this, and by very consciously avoiding pramada, which is inattention, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Harinam Chintamani describes pramada as it's a form of madness. And this is, you know, in English is inattention, inattentive chanting. And there are three kinds that Bhaktivinoda Thakur itemizes. I don't think I can think of the Bengali now. Well, one of them is judja, which is drowsiness or sleepiness. It's just like, let us say that let's see. Does everyone know Kadamba Kanana Swami? Okay. He's a very respected person. Let us say that he just walks into the room, and what we do to receive him is we lay on our side and fall asleep. It wouldn't be considered a very respectful reception. Right? So if we fall asleep on the holy name, I mean, it's a common malady, but we've got Krishna dancing on our tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we fall asleep on him. It's not a very respectful way of dealing. So it's actually considered an offense to do that. It's considered, you know, it's within the overall category of pramada. Nirapshita means distraction. We're thinking about other things, you know, oftentimes having to do with sense gratification, or, you know, being the Ishvara, how we're going to control the events of the day. And then there's another form, it's apathy. We just kind of just, at the opposite of enthusiasm, we're just kind of like really laid back. We're not giving ourselves to it. We don't have anything close to the intensity of a child crying for his mother. What these forms of these apparads, you know, this overall category of pramada, Bhajano Thakur describes forms powerful, a powerful illusion where one becomes attracted to sex life, power, position, money. He doesn't even realize it. It just starts coming up because of a lack of intensity in the japa. So when the intensity is there, then our spiritual intelligence comes alive. You know, we're vibrant with higher taste. And it's Vyashyatmika Buddhir Namasinatsa. Vishaya Vinivartante Narahara Dehina Asa Varjam Rasopyasya Paramdrasva Nivartate. So one may be restricted from the objects of the senses. He may really try to control his senses, but the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste once fixed in consciousness. So that higher taste, you can do an experiment. Tomorrow, you can try to chant the best rounds that you've ever chanted in your entire life. Okay? Like with such intensity. I mean, just think about it. You know, crying, you really are hurt. You fell down. You broke your nose or something, and you're crying for your mother. Okay, just don't let the mind go 1 inch off of the mantra. Don't let the mind steal away your consciousness. Just be there. And every single mantra is super intense. Do this experiment. Make your tomorrow the best japa you've ever chanted in your life. And you'll see a remarkable result. Absolutely remarkable. I did that. I'll tell one story of my own personal experience with this. I was a devotee. I've been in the movement for about a year and a half. And I was a Sankirtan devotee in the New York temple. We were on traveling Sankirtan. We had four vans with about three or four devotees per van that linked up at night with a motorhome, a house on wheels. And we would have our morning program in the motorhome. We would sleep in the vans, and this is how we would bathe. Every morning we had 1 4-liter bottle with water for soaping our bodies up. And we would do this in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, we would just find a place maybe behind a shopping mall, or, you know, it'd be like 2 a.m. So, you know. And then we'd have another bottle to rinse off with, okay? And austere, simple life. And then we would go into the motorhome, or we would start chanting, and then at 4:30, like any normal time, we would have Mangalarti. In those days, any of the brahmacharis in the New York Sankirtan department were required to rise at 2 a.m. That was the standard. And so one night, Ramapada Swami, who at that time was Ramapada Das Brahmachari, he was a temple president, he came out to be with the Sankirtan devotees. He stayed overnight in the motor home, and then he led Mangal Arati, and we chanted japa together. Then we had Guru Puja, and then he gave Bhagavatam class. And in the Bhagavatam class, there the verse was from the second chapter of the first canto, and it was I don't remember which verse it was, but he focused on japa. And he gave examples of how different devotees in the japa period weren't chanting attentively. I remember this very clearly. It made a big impression on me. And he spoke about devotees chanting dive bomber japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then radar japa, where, you know, the cook was cooking the breakfast and they were looking all over the place, obviously not paying attention to their radar japa, not paying attention to their rounds. So they went on like this. And then I realized that my japa wasn't very good. And the way he presented things in the class, I understood that my spiritual life, my advancement, my capacity to render service, was dependent upon the quality of my japa. So the next morning when I got up, because I had, you know, like any new bhakta or new devotee, I was like sometimes in maya, sometimes not, right? Not very steady. And so that next morning when I got up, I took my shower and I got into my rounds and I chanted super loud and super intensely. And I didn't allow my mind to steal away my consciousness at all. I just had practically every single mantra. And so when I felt very ecstatic, you know, it was the best rounds I'd ever chanted as a devotee. And when I got out in Sankirtan, it was like amazing because every person that I met was like the best person I'd meet in 2 or 3 weeks before. And they were very eager to take the books. And even before I'd asked for a donation, they'd reach for their wallets and give me like $10 or $20. It was like incredible. I couldn't understand how this was happening. You know, it wasn't in my realm of reality. And, you know, I was so blissful the whole day. And Krishna kept sending these incredible people. And at the end of the day, I realized, my God, what an amazing discovery that I had made, you know, in my own spiritual life, you know, the potency of the holy name. So I did the same thing. And at the end of the day, this is just to demonstrate a principle that I experienced in my own life. Not to some kind of other brag or boast about it, but it was just a kind of a milestone in my own spiritual development. I distributed 3 times the number of books that I'd ever done and collected 3 times the Lakshmi. So I realized, wow, this is incredible. So the next morning, naturally, because I was really encouraged by what had taken place, it was my service to distribute books, I did the same thing. I got up and was super intense with my japa, and the same thing happened. I got this incredible number of like really sweet and sincere people. Yeah, like before, you know, sometimes I get chased by the police and thrown in jail, or I'd spend the whole day and all I'd see were these beautiful women, and you know, my mind was all disturbed. But it wasn't like nothing wrong with women, but you know, being in a male's body, it was a little bit, I'd get in maya. But there I was seeing all the, you know, every person I had an exchange with, it was so powerful. It moved my heart so much, they were so interested. And so I kept going like that. So I'm just humbly suggesting that you do this little experiment and see how your day goes. You know, like take rest early, don't eat a big, you know, 17 pieces of bread, and you know, be wide awake and ready to go. You know, and give it everything you got and see what the result is. You know, to judge it by its result. But what I think you'll find is the mind and the senses become controlled because there's a higher taste that's automatically there, and one is much more able to vivyashyatmika buddhi, you know, to have the single-minded intelligence rather than the bahu shaka yanantascha, you know, multiple branched intelligence that comes when we're being tugged here and there by our senses and mind. Okay, so this is the principle of spiritual intelligence and how we actually develop it and strengthen it by chanting, but also by regularly imbibing shastra. Rupa Goswami, now what are my time limits here?
Well, you should score per se, but there's no buttons. So you can just go on.
Well, it's past my bedtime already, so.
Yeah, officially it's quarter per
se. Huh?
Officially it's quarter per se.
Okay, quarter after. So anyway, this is what, now what we're gonna see unfold is Bhagavad Gita. The whole, you know, the dramatic episode unfolds is that Krishna is bestowing upon Arjuna spiritual intelligence. So at the end, he gets it. You know, he understands, you know, that his business is to surrender and serve him. And we may not have Krishna, the little blue boy, but Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Punashuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatam Namanamino. We have the fully empowered form of Krishna. All of the Shakti that Krishna has is in his holy name, and we have him dancing in our tongue. If we have an appropriate attitude, which to a large extent is facilitated by serious Shastric study, then we can have the same benefit as Arjuna had in directly interfacing with Krishna on a chariot. And Krishna comes also in this form of the Bhagavatam. So these two forms of Krishna can create the same level of spiritual intelligence that Arjuna had. It's just a question of application. Excuse me. Okay, questions or comments, please. I'll read the verse again. And alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit gratefully sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. So the degree of attentiveness with which Arjuna approached Krishna, you know, it was a super intense exchange. You know, he was really troubled. And I can imagine being faced with killing your teacher, your close relatives and friends. How disturbing, you know, this could be. So our situation, you know, we may not be faced with killing our family members, but we may be faced with really troubling circumstances in our life. You know, maybe not right now, but don't worry, our time will come. Because that's the way the material world's designed. You know, Krishna, being all intelligence, knows that. So he made this arrangement for Bhagavad Gita to be spoken. For Arjuna, you know, an eternally liberated soul, to undergo what seems to be the kind of bewilderment that you and I might be subjected to by the material energy. It's actually the Lila Shakta, the Yoga Maya, that's doing that for our well-being. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, so what are you going to do tomorrow morning? Chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your entire life. It's an experiment. Okay, and then you can let me know the result of the experiment, whether there was like some phenomenal transformations in your consciousness and realizations of the potency of the holy name. It takes, you know, biggest challenge is inattention. Bhajana Thakur and Bhakti Aloka, which is a commentary on text 2 and 3 of Upadeshamrita, and chapter 7, which describes Utsaha, he describes that the best way to overcome inattention or pramada is through utsaha, with super enthusiasm. You know, like we see babies crying, they're extremely enthusiastic to get their mothers, you know, when they cry. They're not laid back. They're given everything they got, right? So that's what we should do, okay? Tomorrow is a deal? Everyone's agreed? Okay, so it's an experiment. See how it works. Questions or comments? You all ready to go? Need any more like pointers on it? So really good to understand your fallen condition, that you've made a big mistake and turned away from Krishna. You're estranged. You've been suffering in this material world for who knows how many lifetimes. Your best position is to be reconnected. So it's like this, you know, please, Krishna, let me engage in your service. Please take me back. This is like a horrible position I've gotten myself into and my stupidity. And So that's the cry, you know, that comes from Janatapi Sunichena. There's other aspects, there's other qualities of, there's three other qualities in that shloka, but this one of humility is extremely important to manifest this cry. And just the opposite modality comes, it's described by in Queen Kunti's prayer, 1:8:26. Janmeshvaya Shuta Shibir Edamana Madapuman Navarha Dyabidatum Vai Twama Kinshana Gochiram. Those who are on the path of material progress trying to improve themselves with high parentage, great wealth, high education or bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feeling. These are Edamana Madapuman, they actually intoxicate the jiva. And it's when one is pursuing this in life, it's very, very difficult to have this. It puffs one up. And one's saying, oh, look at these borrowed plumes I have. I'm so great. Look how much money I've got. Ishvaraham aham bogi, siddaham balavan suki. I'm the controller of everything that I survey. Ishvaraham aham bogi, I am the enjoyer. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. This is like in 16th chapter Gita, 14th text, describing the mentality of the demoniac person. To some extent, when we get in Maya, you know, that's where we're thinking, you know. So when we get into that, it covers our capacity to understand our infinitesimal position as Krishna's eternal servant, blocks our capacity to understand Krishna as the Supreme Lord. We can't think of that. We're just thinking about gratifying our senses and how great we are. There's a very powerful verse, 11:2:37, Bhagavatam. Vayam duti abini veshatashad ishari pitasha viparyoshmiti tanmayato buddha abhajaitan bhaktiaikayesham guru devatatma. Fear overcomes the living entity when he misidentifies himself as the body. In this condition, which is orchestrated by the external energy of the Lord, he goes through a role reversal. Rather than seeing himself as Krishna's servant, he becomes Krishna's competitor.
Wow.
In other words, I'm the center of the universe. Everything in this universe is meant to gratify my senses and my subtle body. Okay, this is the thought process of a grossly conditioned soul, materially conditioned soul. And so this is on one end of the spectrum, right over here, this side of the podium. Okay, center of the universe. The universe is simply meant for my gratification. This side is the liberated soul, and he sees Krishna as the center of the universe, and everything in the universe is meant to please Krishna. So we're somewhere in between on this spectrum. The process of bhakti, and the more intensely we execute it, the quicker we get over to this side. Okay, I've gone too long, sorry. Can't stop talking about this. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay, have good luck tomorrow. I'll be praying for you. I'll be chanting my best too. Hare Krishna.